Let's do it.
Talk Radio.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, oh, yeah. Saturday. African American Empowerment Saturday. 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment just for you. It's your main man, Marvin Roan, and a group. We're coming to you live. Oh, we got a show for you today. Black on Black. Psychodynamics of what we do. Got Dr. Bruce, Brother Hassan, Brother Deuce Hunter, Brother George, and so much more. Family time. Tell a friend what we doing on Saturday around this time. Oh, yeah. How it is. There's no better love. Welcome, brothers and sisters, sisters and brothers of all kinds in the family network. It's African American Empowerment, 365 days of you know what for you know who. So when we get clear on, as we tune the dial in of who we're servicing the hearts, the minds, the reparation, the repair, the restoration of the African American community. Listen up, brothers and sisters. We have been damaged in this country, right? And we must return to our rightful place and space in this world. We're not talking about, I'm not talking about reparations in terms of just money, but we have to repair ourselves mentally, physically, emotionally, socially, culturally, because we have been altered. Our spirit has been altered, our mindset, our families, our history, our culture, right? How we treat each other, and we have to redefine our legacies. What are you talking about, Marvin? We're talking about African-American empowerment to raise the consciousness of a group of people who are conducting themselves inside of a system and a culture that has marginalized us, that has brutalized us. And this is just the truth, right? So we're not mad with anybody, but we have to do the work of doing the repairs, right? You don't, are you not mad with a mechanic or the person who goes to the body shop because they fix cars or that they repair damage to the body? You just send them in there and get them fixed. And then they charge you for what it's worth to repair the damage, right? What is the damage that has been done to us, and what is the cost to repair it, right? Repair our minds and restore ourselves to our greatness. And how do we do this, right? There's a process that we have to go through, whether you like it or not, right? You're going to have to think about what you do, your mindset, right? The energy that you produce in this country, in this community that you live in, and how much are you willing to prepare yourself for the work that needs to be done for the future? How do we plan to do this at the NAAE? Because we're collaborating now. Oh, we're developing a network that help us to repair ourselves. Nobody can stop us from doing that, right? And if you do, then you have a major issue that you need to address with yourselves wherever you are, right? So if you're against the work, I'm sorry you feel that way. But we're going to do the work, right, because we need it. All you have to do is look at us, right? Look at the condition that we're in. And then you decide where you're going to start. I'm suggesting that we start with ourselves. There's a five-point program, politics, a political agenda. We have to understand the law. If you're going to live in this system and in this culture, you're going to have to understand the law and the political system and how it works. Capitalism, Democratic, Republican, independent parties. You have to learn how this system operates, the law, and how to use and manipulate and manage the law that it works for us. Right, we're going to have to do that. So we're going to have a political agenda wherever we are. We're going to have that agenda. Now let's move over to the E, economics. We have to have a collective economic agenda that serves us all across the board, whether they want to be in or not. You just pull them in and say, hey, you're a part of this because we need to help you help yourself. Right? We need economics and learn how to manage the funds that we're getting in, learn how to build institutions that define our own reality to help us help ourselves to build schools and other places that help us to gain knowledge, but also to employ ourselves and be employable, right? And not dysfunctional, because that is the condition that many of us are in, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. We have to do that. And then the A, which is critical, it's important that you maintain health and wellness within your temple, not only your body, but your mental, physical, and emotional, right? You're going to have to do the work of working on yourself. That means you're going to have to monitor, manage, and maintain what you put in your body. Those substances, you're going to have to eliminate some of them, right? If you need to cope with something, you're going to have to get stronger. We're going to have to get stronger as people, right? We've been damaged. We know that. But how do we repair again? You're going to have to push away from the table. You're going to have to get back to the diet that serves your body. I'm calling it now fuel, not food, fuel. Fuel in your system. You cannot put 87 in a 93, right? In that, I'm talking about gas now. Can't do it. The car's not going to run right. The body's not going to run right. So, again, it's mental, physical, emotional, and spiritual, and we're going to have to develop ourselves that way. Let's move on to the C, culture, like this program and the manual. Relevant cultural programs to help us establish ourselves, pride in ourselves again, right? Chin up and chest out. Why not be proud of who we are and the ancestors that fought, bled, and died for what we have today and who we are today? And we have to represent them well now. That's our work. And lastly, it's the E. It's a comprehensive education that really looks at how we can grow and develop ourselves, teach, train, and develop our young people to be proud of who they are, to love themselves, and to love their community. And now for the Stan Mackler moment. I'll be right back.
Stan, the deck is packed today. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you.
Yeah,
I just love it when you're able to explain the pillars of the National African American Empowerment Association. You know, when we have institutions that define our own reality, quit trying to get in to fit in, this is where it's at, and this is what we're doing.
You know, Brother Stan is right. Think about it. When we develop institutions that define our own reality, then nothing holds us back. If you're held back economically and you have to do things that you don't want to do, then guess what? You're going to have to redirect yourself. And so a part of developing the institutions that define our own reality is putting things in place that work for us. Right? Stop trying to get in and fit in things and with people who don't want you to be a part of what they're doing. We can make major strides in this world if we begin to work collectively like other cultures do. And so we're going to have to examine that. We're going to have to do the work, right, of working on ourselves. And now, the part you've all been waiting for is the Willie Lynch and Kwanzaa segment with Brother George. Come on, Brother George. Bring it. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. I like this part. Hey, wife. Hey, family. Hey, friend. Come on. Right here. Brother George. We ain't going nowhere, y'all. We right here. George, welcome to the show. Welcome back, brother. How are you?
Thank you, brother. I'm doing pretty good. You know, considering the circumstances, I'm doing pretty good. But the show must go on. Today, with the Kwanzaa segment, our Kwanzaa principle is Imani, faith. To believe with all our heart in our parents, our teachers, our leaders, our people, and the righteousness and victory of our struggle. I think that's a great principle, man, especially the last part, the righteousness and victory of our struggle. Now, for the Willingness segment, which I try to kind of explain, like, the Willingness segment is, we were put in a mindset during the Mayafa, the enslavement period, to not read, to not love ourselves, to become enemies of ourselves, male and female, female and female, old and young. They really did a job on us. And so I tried to use reading as a source to recapture the mind that we lost, that African mind. So today I'm going to continue with the Ten Commandments of Black Economic Power by Dr. Boyce Watkins. And this is commandment number 4. Create fertile economic soil for your family. According to CNBC, 80% of all black-owned businesses fail within the first 18 months. This is due to a number of factors, some of them common to businesses of all ethnic backgrounds. The failure rate of black-owned businesses is far higher than that of white businesses, which have a failure rate of 30%. Why does this disparity exist? Well, it can be attributed to a number of factors, such as lack of access to financing, lack of knowledge, lack of connections, etc. But there is another factor that is rarely mentioned in these studies, bad economic soil. Think of economic soil the same way that you think about soil in a garden, where there is plenty of water and sunlight. If the soil is rich in nutrients, you can grow lots of healthy food. Everything survives and prospers in healthy soil. Now compare this to unhealthy, toxic soil. The soil isn't full of nutrients, and there is water or sun. Imagine that it's dry, dark, and filled with toxins, or perhaps like a desert. Nothing grows in this soil, and everything dies. This is the image that comes to mind when I think about the experience of black business owners trying to start a business in a family filled of people who only would have trained to be good employees. Their only training is to be a good employee. This person proudly announces that they are starting their new business and lets their family know on social media. In fertile soil, everyone would jump in to support the business and make sure it thrives, the same way in which you rush to protect a newborn baby. They would buy products, share the links on social media, provide words of encouragement, share meaningful contact, and even lend human or financial capital to ensure the business survival. But for some of us, this is not the reality we experience. Rather than receiving positive, uplifting words of power, we hear things like, why would you do that? You know that's risky, don't you? Well, who does this Negro think he is with that little business? Rather than getting a share of our business or a post on social media, we have friends and relatives who won't even hit the like button. Instead of one of loved ones buying products from you, our jealous relatives go out of their way to support other businesses. Now, he goes on to talk about some things that can resolve that issue, and he talks about some things that, you know, deal with that issue, but that is the reality of how we've been conditioned through the slave-making process, you know, to hate ourselves, to not want to support anything that out of fear of what the master would do if you would support something like an uprising. All those things are in our genetic memory. And so we still fear being productive, and we got to get over that, you know. That's my segment, Brother Marvin. And if you don't have any questions for me, then back to you.
All right. Thank you, Brother George. Great segment. And again, it's about reading, right? If you're not reading a book of some kind, right, I got some pushback on reading the book. If you want to read on your tablet or your phone, it's still reading, right? We got to educate ourselves. So that's what Brother George is doing, and we're going to push empowerment through education and knowledge. That's the E, right? And so here's the question for today. You mentioned a lot of things that we do, and the focus is on us, right? So we're not talking to other people right now. How do we break that condition of not supporting each other, brother?
Well, the one thing that we have to relearn is we have to relearn the eagerness that we once had to learn, to create, to be experts, to do certain things, and to figure things out. And we can get that back, you know, through practicing critical thinking again. And we can teach our children how to do that. We could do that right at home, you know, with simple little problems to look at things the same way the Moorses would teach, that you have to look at things, you have to look up, you have to look behind you, you have to look in front of you, and you have to look to either side of you so that you can, and you also have to look down. So what you're doing is you're evaluating a situation from every possible angle. And we no longer do that, but we have to teach our children how to do that, and they'll naturally do it in the future, brother. So that's my response.
Thank you, Brother George. Again, classic response, right? That's the kind of brother we're working with. Again, here's the words of encouragement. When we get a plan and somebody, anybody, a brother or sister develop a business or outline or platform, we got to all jump in. You know, like sometimes in our community when we get in a fight and everybody want to jump in, how about jumping in on the bandwagon for something good? How about challenging ourselves to have a plan and evaluate ourselves and assess what we're doing? How about supporting a brother or a sister in business that they're putting forth effort to simply try to do something different, to something that we need, right? Even if they're just trying, why not just be a word of encouragement to your brother or sister? That is what we're going to have to relearn, and that is what we're going to have to understand as we continue to journey together in healing. That healing process has to take place and take root and take hold within ourselves. Willie Lynch is real. The opposition and the resistance to each other is real, and we're going to have to break that. Nobody else. You, me, us, we're going to have to do the work of working on our mind and our consciousness, and you are going to have to do that today and every day going forward. That's the message for today. Now let's get to the show. We got Dr. Bruce on tap, Brother Hassan Shabazz, and Brother Kenneth Deuce Hunter. We're going to be talking about black on black violence and the psychodynamics of the black self, right? And so as we bring these brothers in, before we get started, Slido today, slido.com, it's code 414-521. That's 414-1521. If you want to go over to Slido and make a comment, or 845-277-9250. Say it slowly, Marvin. 845-277-9250 is the number to call if you want to get in the call-in line. But we want you to be a part of the show. We want you to participate, right? This is African-American empowerment. I don't know if there's anywhere else that's specifically catering like this in five areas: politics, economics, athletics, health, wellness, fitness, nutrition, for our people to get it together, get back on track, and work together collectively across the nation. That's what we're doing. It's African-American empowerment, 365 days of motivation and personal empowerment. 414, I need to hear from y'all today, right? Here, we're not begging for y'all to join in. All we're doing is asking you to do what needs to be done. That's all I got to say on that. All right, Brother George, are you ready? Let's see if we can get Brother Hassan in first. Brother Hassan.
Yes, sir. Yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
All right. Welcome to the show. How are you?
Oh, man, I'm wonderful, man. All praises forever due, man. I'm very grateful, thankful to be here once again, having an opportunity to be with you here and Brother George and, you know, all of the listeners. You know, I think that we're going to come with some wonderful, wonderful food today. So, you know, let's get into it.
All right. Let's see. Don't see Dr. Bruce in yet. So I do want to let our listeners know that we got a show today that we want to talk about what's relevant, right? And we're talking about, it's on the heels of Brother Tyre Nichols, right? And we all know what happened, right? And if you don't know, we're going to tell you today, right? But again, it's us, right? And even though they're law enforcement officers, at the end of the day, they were brothers, right? It's us,
mm-hmm.
right? Even though you have on a uniform, you're still us, right? You're still family, right? We still come from the same roots. Whether we want to acknowledge it or not, we're the same people, right? Whether you live in North Carolina or whether you live in D.C. or Oakland or Philadelphia, you have African ancestry. Guess what? And our ancestors who come out of enslavement, right, we're all the same family, right? But, so just because you moved to Detroit, you're still in the same family. Just because you're out in Oakland, you're still the same family. And we got to start seeing ourselves mm-hmm. that way. So I'll start with you first, Brother Hassan, until we can get Brother Deuce in and Dr. Bruce. Where do you think the black-on-black violence stems from at this modern time, and what can we do to solve that or resolve it?
Mm. You know, that's a very interesting subject, one that I've read about very thoroughly, you know, from some of our most esteemed black psychologists. We talk about Dr. Naeem Akbar, and you talk about Dr. Amos N. Wilson. And you know, one of I believe one of his most powerful books and pieces that I've ever had an opportunity to read is on the falsification of African consciousness, right? And it speaks specifically to that, in alignment with white supremacy and what that actually entails for us as black people now. Here in the witness of North America or African people or Asiatic people or however you want to refer to us as melanated people, we have a rich history, right, that goes unheard, unseen, unspoken, and many times it's only relayed mouth to ear, father to son, mother to daughter. But the truth is that this is something that we all need in order to understand why we're in the current predicament that we're in today. And when you deal with black-on-black violence and crime, you know, we believe that when we talk about white supremacy, the ideology of it, and when you talk about racism, it's very deep as it pertains to our psyche here in America. Being here in the diaspora for over 400 years in this country, you got to understand what took place with us wasn't just like a week ago or a year ago. We're talking about centuries, right? Centuries of conditioning that we need to understand, that we need to really, 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 really dissect. Because when you talk about Willie Lynch, that's really what you're talking about, the history of how you can make an individual internalize the self-hatred that will be needed to control them for the next 400 or however long many years, right? And so Willie Lynch is directly connected to why we see black-on-black violence, why we see black-on-black crime, right? Why is it so easy for us to commit that crime amongst ourselves? Well, one thing I know about that is that when you have a certain sense of self-hatred for not being able to accomplish, for hating your skin, for hating your hue, your color, your hair, your texture, your eye color, everything about you that you taught was nothing but a product, a like a piece of cattle that you rustle off, or a cattle that you rustle off in order to sell to create money through commerce. So a lot of our problems as it pertains to who we are stem directly in relationship to our condition in this country and slavery. Now, whether you want to talk about it or not, whether you want to talk about racism or not, just because you don't talk about it or just because you are not like that doesn't mean it does not exist. And so if you're going to say because you're not like that, I don't care nothing about it, I'm not going to deal with it, then the problem lies there, and then you become an instrument of racism because you do nothing to fight against. And so when we talk on black crime, that is an internalization, right, of racist ideology, of white supremacy, and every other aspect, because we end up killing ourselves so that the oppressor doesn't have to do it. right? And this situation with Tyree Nichols, man, like, brother, you know, that's the epitome of black-on-black crime, man. I want to say this, man. I had a conversation. I had a conversation with a very good friend of mine, Oscar Donso Lumumba, who is also the co-founder of the Virginia Prison Justice Network, along with myself, Margaret Breslow, and Phil Willato, something that we started back in 2017. We just had the 6th annual Prison Justice Rally on January the 14th. With that being said, me and Oscar had a conversation. And within that conversation, he said, brother, he said, I hear everybody talking about whether it black cops, whether it was a white cop, whether they got prosecuted like that or all that type of stuff. He said, man, that's fine, man. He said, but I was talking to a gang member the other day. And I said, man, ain't the same thing that them cops did, the same thing that y'all do to each other out there in the street? He said, ain't that the same thing that y'all do to each other out there in the street? Right. See, what we got to remember is this, man, that every field, and I'm gonna say this, every field nigga, right, that was in the field,
all right,
won't do it. He wanna don't mean he was a good person, don't mean he was cool, right? Everybody in the
True.
Field won't good, and everybody in the house won't bad.
Come on.
Right. Let's get down to it. Let's get down to the psychology of it, because it was some people in the house that would sneak food out to the slaves in the field.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Let's not forget
what's going on. It was sometimes the one who was in the house that was the one that was closest to the master, right? And that's when you knew that the killer was in the house. Right?
Come on, brother.
Tell it, brother.
Come on, man. Let's start picking up the pieces, right? Because This is an age-old story right here, and we know it the best because we lived it. You feel me? So this is a modern-day, technologically advanced form of slavery that we live in. And we have to understand that we have to create new underground railroads to obtain our freedom.
All right.
Right? Underground railroads to escape economic slavery. Underground railroads to escape poverty. Underground railroads to escape illiteracy.
You're
right?
Speaking my language.
That's what we got to do. And if we're not in the business of doing that, then we're wasting our time.
Right.
We're wasting our time and the children's time. Right? Because I'm going to tell you right now, they ain't got time for it, man. They're going to find a destiny whether you help them find it or not. And fate is when preparation meets opportunity. So if you're not out here helping to prepare these youth, what are they going to find the opportunity for?
True.
Nothing but foolishness. Nothing but hate. Nothing but violence. Black-on-black crime comes from illiteracy, man. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge.
All right, Brother Hassan, I got to hold you right there. I like the opening. I need to stop for just a minute, but we're going to keep the dialogue going so I can bring Dr. Bruce in. Dr. Bruce Bridges is in the house.
Mm-hmm.
He's been on the line, but he tricked me today, called me from a different number. Dr. Bruce. Are
yes,
you there,
sir?
Yes,
sir.
Welcome. Welcome to the show. How are you?
All right, brother. What about
All
you,
right,
brother?
Well,
Joel?
You heard we're doing well.
Fine,
you heard the intro from Brother Hassan on black violence, and I know that when we first did
and
this
it was
segment,
excellent.
It was
excellent.
Really
it was excellent too. He did an excellent
talked
job.
About the psychodynamics.
Thank you.
Of the black self,
of black on
as
black.
It relates to. Let's get into that, right, and then let's just build upon what Brother Hassan said because it's so true. But let's also, as it relates to Brother Tyree Nichols, how do we build, right? How do we build on the fact that we recognize that it's Willie Lynch and all these other things, but where do we go from here? What do you think, Dr. Okay. Bruce?
First thing, Brother Marvin, the brother was absolutely dead on point with his information. And one thing he said is we suffer for the lack of knowledge. Most mm-hmm. of us do not know who we are. 99.9% of black people in the world do not know who they are. And that is because of the propaganda machine that white Europeans have used to miseducate us around the world and to keep us from getting information even today with situations that's working with the 1619 Project, but it's working with DeSantos down in Florida and all over the country. They do not want us to know who we are. And one way of them not letting us know who we are, and tying right into what the brother said too, this is African American History Month. And it would seem that we would at least hold that sacred. And had these brothers been thinking along those lines of Afrocentric thinking, then they would have questioned what they were doing and would have stopped if they had even began to do what they did to Tyre Nichols. For example, I'm going to get back to your point, but I did want to point out a couple of important dates here because it is African American History Month. But these dates I'm about to give to the audience are dates that related to this black on black and white on black violence in America. As the brother said, it has not just begun. It was on the slave ships, also on the plantations mm-hmm. of America. For example, today, which is February the 18th, 2023, there was a man by the name of Jimmy Lee Jackson, who was a 26-year-old man, and he was shot by a white police officer after police attacked a peaceful civil rights protest in Marion, Alabama. And he mm-hmm. died 8 days later on this date. Mm-hmm. You see, so what we're talking about mm-hmm. today has been happening, and an incident occurred such as what we're talking about on this date in 1965, the death of Jimmy Lee Jackson, a 26-year-old black man shot by a white police officer after police attacked a civil rights movement in Marion, Alabama, and he died 8 days later. And on yesterday in Black History, this being Black History Month and relating to the injustice and the unrighteousness that has been heaped upon black people, in 1947, on February 17th in Greenville, South Carolina, a white mob lynched a man by the name of Willie Earl. A white mm-hmm. mob lynched a black man by the name of Willie Earl. And they not only lynched him, but they lynched him, then they slashed chunks of his flesh from his body and then mm-hmm. blasted him down with a shotgun. And 31 men were charged with the murder, and all of them were acquitted. So my point mm. here is that you look at the calendar on the history of injustice in America and what has been heaped upon black people by white people and black people alike. It did not just start, you see. 1947, 1965, I gave you two incidents here today. And, of course, mm-hmm. I want to remember that this being Black History Month, we need to hold Black History Month sacred, and we don't need to stop Black History, as you say, Brother Marvin. Any time of the year, it should be 365 and one-fourth days of the year. And we should not even interrupt it by dividing it in half in the shortest month of the year, 28 days in the month of February, and half of 28 is 14, and then celebrate some white saint that we know nothing about called Valentine's, to interrupt our history and take a break from this injustice and take a break from our history and our culture and then celebrate somebody with a bow and arrow shooting it through the heart of a woman and giving away chocolates and candy. But all of this, as the brother said earlier, all of this, as the brother so eloquently stated, is because of the lack of knowledge. If we don't have a knowledge of these things, then we don't know how to react or how to act or what to do. And my final point here with this is that we should heed the words of Brother Malcolm X, whose birthday mm-hmm. is this coming Tuesday. the death date, pardon me, the date that Malcolm was killed in 1965
right.
is coming up this Tuesday. So we should remember February 21st as Malcolm's birthday. We should remember the birthday of Frederick Douglass in February and forget these European holidays and focus on our heritage and our culture, and that alone is what we need to focus on. And when we focus on that, then we as people will be able to sit and talk and discuss and actually come up with some solutions to our problems. So not to take up all the time, I did want to mention those important dates in 1947, 1965, and, of course, in 1965 also when Malcolm was killed, the same year that Jimmie Lee Jackson was killed while being involved in a peaceful protest in Marion, Alabama. You see, so these are dates on our history and our culture that we need to be familiar with.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Bruce. So I want to ask you both a question, right? So I want to go back to Brother Tyre Nichols, right, and how he was assassinated. And I want to speak to one of the law enforcement piece, right, brothers with badges, and how these scorpions, right, preyed on this brother. Now, we know some of them were in fraternity. I don't want to name it, but in fraternity, which is has an allegiance to our community, and I know to some point it's a disgrace.
Why you don't
want to
name
how
it?
Do
why
because
you don't
I don't want to step out on our people like that. I'm just let me move on along, brother Bruce. Y'all can talk about it. I'm just gonna put it out there.
I'll name it. I won't let you name it. Go right here, my brother. I just
name
wonder.
It. But because I'm saying I just want to say as the allegiance that these institutions have to our communities and the oath that they took, why are we continuing to still have this to be an issue in our community amongst our people, not even law enforcement, but what we do to ourselves, right? And we say Willie Lynch, but at some point we're going to have to break the cycle. What do y'all think about that? Brother Son,
yeah,
and then Dr. Bruce.
Yes, sir. Well, you know, first and foremost, I would say this recently, because we was talking about that. We was talking about breaking the cycle, but what you're really talking about there is providing some type of solutions, right?
Right.
Solutions as it pertains to this right here, because we all know that no matter what, we live in a place and time in a country where you got to have police, right? I mean, I understand we had with the movement for defunding the police and so forth like that, but you know, I'm a firm believer that whenever you take something away from a man, you have to replace it with something, right? Or ultimately, it will be replaced with something that may not be to your liking. So when you're talking about the disruption of one system, then we have to be having something that we could call our own, right? Which means that we need to be having our own, producing our own. I know the other day, I remember when we were at the youth leadership, the Armstrong youth leadership program with you, Brother Mark, other night with those young men from 12 to 17, right? And having the opportunity to speak with them and just thinking about this situation right here with Tyre Nichols and then thinking about what it had to take, what was it that allowed them to feel like that was not necessarily okay, but that was necessary, or that they feel like that they had to do that to that brother in order to make some type of point, right? And whether that was from the point of what we call internalized self-hatred, where you want to make the master happy, right? Or whether it's a point of self-hatred. Self-hatred that comes from an impoverished mind, that doesn't necessarily mean that because a person has money that he doesn't resort to ignorance, right, and stupidity. Just because he has money, he could be a rich fool. But so what we're saying when we're talking about solutions as it pertains to that right there, then that starts like the doctor was saying, man, you're talking about starting in the home, right? Starting as children, because obviously whatever that was within them was something that they bought to the uniform.
it was not necessarily something that the uniform created in them, right? That's something that we see in our communities regardless of whether we're in uniform or not. When we talk about uniform, think about uniform. Now, if we're saying that we're blood and we all wear red, then that's our uniform. If we're saying that we are all Crip and we all wear blue, then that's our uniform. If we say we're in private school and this is the type of attire that we wear, then that's our uniform. But just because you put on a uniform does not mean that you internalize what the uniform represents, right? Or what it's supposed to represent, right? To protect and serve. You can bring your own personal agenda to whatever profession that you may hold.
True.
And therefore, that's why it's very crucial. I remember one time when I was in school as a youngin, and I'm going to say this and then we'll move forward. But as a youngin, I remember they would come through and ask people, you know, ask the children in there, well, what do you want to be when you grow up? Right? What do you want to be when you grow up? And I heard all types of answers. Well, I said I wanted to be a lawyer. Right? That's what I said I wanted to be. I had no idea that life would take me the direction that it has for me to accomplish that goal. But often, when you look at those children, they would say, I want to be a fireman. Somebody even might say, I want to be a police officer. How many children do you know when you go into the room that they say that they want to be a police officer nowadays? Right? The relationship there has been so estranged. And it's not just that. When we talk about police officers, we're talking about security. The man has not assumed his position to secure his own home. Right? We talk about security now. So we're talking about solutions that are indicative of our behavior amongst each other, regardless of what uniform we put on. So we have to dig deep into our culture. A lot of the reason why we are the way we are is because we have no cultural roots within the educational system that's taught to us. That pedagogy is not good for black children. When you read Dr. Amos's book talking about developing the genius in black children, right, and the destruction of young black boys, when we talk about the preschool to prison pipeline, right? Dr. Umar, I know y'all know Dr. Umar Johnson. Dr. Umar said that the educational system is there to prepare young black boys for prison and young black girls for welfare.
Mm.
Right? Because it's not culturally foundated in anything for black children. And so if it's not culturally foundated in anything, then what type of soil are you planting this in? And this is, and so what you see that happened with Tyree Nichols is indicative of every other thing that you see as far as the genocide that's taking place within the black community, with blacks perpetuating white supremacy upon blacks, right? Because the idea of white supremacy is to keep you oppressed. So when we oppress each other, then that's what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I talk a little bit more about a conversation that I had with Commonwealth Fatihi in a minute, you know, as we talk about solutions. But I want to hear a little bit more about what other brothers got to say about solutions.
All right, Dr. Bruce.
Okay, I'm back with you, Brother Marvin. Yeah, I see as Amos Wilson says in his book, Black on Black Violence, psychodynamics of black men killing black men, in other words, in the domain of white supremacy. Having had hatred bred into us by the slave master, and after the slave master, many of our people who were imitating the slave master picked up some of the same ideologies, the same standards of beliefs, and started to do the same thing to our own people as the slave master did. The slave master was our model because our history, our culture, our heritage, our religion, our God, and everything had been destroyed. And when that's destroyed, then you can put anything you want to in the head of an empty head. You can put anything in it you want. And that's what happened to us as a people. Now, the original Africans who came here on slave ships and who had not been divested of all their knowledge of the great kingdoms and civilizations that we came from, it was very difficult to enslave them. So therefore, you have to kill off the older enslaved people and then take those youngsters who know nothing and have no one to teach them other than the slave master, then they could produce a product that would work for them. And that's what happened to us. A product was produced on the plantations of America and other parts of the world by the slave enslavers, and that product then perpetuated what the enslavers had done to us, a continuation of what had been done to us from the beginning. And that's what we have here happening in the world today. And of course, if we relate to each other like that, then of course the slave master is going to relate to us in the same way, if not worse. For example, on this coming Thursday in 2020, that's the date that Ahmaud Arbery was killed, the 25-year-old black man who was shot and killed in Glynn County, Georgia, by a white man. So this is the date that and he was not arrested. The white man, if you all recall, he was not arrested until people began to protest worldwide and to bring him into justice along with his son and other people. You see, so these dates of racial injustice and hatred towards black people, you look at your calendar, if you understand the dates, it's happening over and over and over again. And until we as people, and I don't have time to outline it all on this radio program, but we, Marcus Garvey gave us the answer in some of his writings. When you have something and you can't protect it yourself, then people will take it from you. And that's also including your life, you see. And so we have to understand that we as a people have to, that there's a place for the Black Panther Party. Even today, there's a place for the Republic of New Africa. There's a place for black militia. There's a place for all these things in our society as people, because you have to protect what is yours. And people have to understand that there are consequences to their actions. If they don't have consequences, they will continue to do to us the same thing over and over again. And there must also be consequences to what happens to these brothers in black-on-black crime. There must be consequences for white-on-black crime. There must also be consequences for black-on-black crime. And when people understand there'll be consequences, then a lot of this stuff will stop. Believe me, it will stop. And I'm going to do just what I say. I'm going to stop at that point and leave it at that, because you know, I don't want to go into everything. But there must be consequences in all circumstances. There has to be consequences.
I like that.
Yeah, we have to have consequences.
All right. Let's slide over.
And there's no need of sitting around saying the Lord going to take care of it either. That's not the answer.
Mm. Yes, sir. They say there need to be repercussions and consequences, right?
No, repercussions and consequences
behind every choice.
That's right.
Slide on over to Slido for a minute.
Yeah. Okay, let's go to Slido.
All right, so here's the question, right? How do we break the hold that Willie Lynch has on our minds?
I think brother just pretty much answered it. That hold has to be broken by us beginning to know who we are and understanding our history, our heritage, and who we are as a people. And as you always say, Brother Marvin, through education. And you know doggone well, I don't mean education by going to into these Negro colleges and universities or education at these white colleges and universities. I don't mean that kind of, because that's not education. As Carl G. Woodson said, that's miseducation. And I think that's quite apropos for this month. Carl G. Woodson said, that's miseducation. And so I'm not talking about that. But we must be educated, first of all, to know who we are as people, as brother said too, from the early stages and ages of our life, we must begin to know each other. We must understand that white is not better than black. We have to get rid of some of these old stereotypical things that we've been taught. We have been taught erroneously. We've been taught in error. We've been taught inaccurately. We have not been taught properly. That's the main thing. We have not been taught as a people. We have been taught by people who had as their only intention to enslave us, and that's what they did. And so in order to break those chains of enslavement, we have to recapture our minds and begin to rethink and reanalyze some of the things that we have been taught in the church, in the school, and everywhere, in the home and all around us. We have to begin to understand that. We have to begin to crush people, and I don't mean physically, but crush people when they want to say that light skin is better, or when people start talking about good hair and bad hair, and when people start talking about fast skin and these kinds of things. All these kinds of things, we have to question and say, well, why did he say that? And some people, like you say many years ago, the devil made me say it, and you're absolutely right. The devil, however you define it, made you say that. Mm.
All right, Dr. Bruce. All right. All right, Brother Hassan, what you got?
You know, it's very interesting, man. As I was thinking about what we were talking about, you know, with this as it pertains to the question, right, how do we destroy women lynched? I started to think about all the brothers that I met that had been legally lynched, right? And throughout my tenure in prison over 23 and a half years, the vast portion of all of that was spent in the law library, and became a certified paralegal and met and filed many, many briefs, hundreds and hundreds of briefs I filed over the years for brothers and sisters inside of prison. And what I learned from that, when you work in the law library, you get to meet people. And so I met thousands of people over the years, traveling over 10 different prisons. And while I was in there, there was men who come to the law library. And when they come in the law library, they come in not knowing anything about the law, nothing about the law. And many of them, when I asked them, I said, man, how much time did you do? I said, man, they gave me 48, man. Man, they gave me 56. They gave me life. They gave me double life. They gave me this. I said, life. They equate life to 600 years. As a sinner, right? And so he said, oh, they gave me life. And he said, yeah, man, they gave me life. And I said, what? I said, man, I said, you ain't know that you was facing that much time with the crime that you committed? He said, man, I ain't know none of that, man. He said, I ain't know that I could get that much time for what I did. I said, oh, man. Our people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. See, the young men don't know that when they out in the street sometimes that the crime that they're committing, when they're out of their mind and when they're in a state of virtual reality, which they're going to be snapped into reality.
Right.
They all be snapped into reality when they walk through them doors. But when they walk through the doors, what I realized is that they were all ignorant. All ignorant. They didn't
say
know nothing
again
about it. See, sometimes if you know about the consequence, you might think twice about doing it. You know, and so you don't know that you're facing 40 years for a robbery on the top end. 40 years you get for a robbery. Don't add use of a firearm on it as an auxiliary offense. You get mandatory time there, right? So we got to know about the law, right? We talked about that a little bit earlier, Bro Marvin. We got to know about the law. It's one of the ways that we can break Willie Lynch because, see, we violate the law. See, that law, statutory law and all that and any other law come from God law. And God law manifests from the self-accusing spirit inside of yourself. Like, you know when you're about to do something wrong. Most of the time when you're about to do wrong, you want to do it in the dark where can't nobody see it, where you can hide it from people, right? See, we'd have become so numb to our self-accusing spirit, man. We do it right in the light. Like we do it right in the open. We don't care who see us. Whatever. Whatever goes. We turn into like the Wild Wild West. I like to say we become like technological cavemen. Right? Well, we advance technologically, but morally and spiritually, we become even more depraved. And so slavery did that to us, right? Slavery became, made us become morally and spiritually depraved because they made us live out immorality, right? And it is hard to break that cycle upon yourself when it's been implemented for centuries. So the first thing you got to do is be conscious of what it is that you're perpetuating upon yourself. What am I doing to myself? Why do I keep doing this? Like, I got a habit of smoking. I just can't stop. I know it's killing me, but I keep on doing it. What is it about me that makes me keep doing that to myself? Right? Self, first. Black on black crime start with you. Killing yourself.
True.
Right? You committing black on black crime. Right? The temple that you have of your is of God's. It's not of your own. The scripture in 1 Corinthians 3:16, not to get religious, right? But 1 Corinthians 3:16 say, know ye not that ye are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you, that ye have of God and not of your own? Right? And so understand that that's the essence of it right there, man, the law within self. How do you govern self? Then govern family, community, nation, and then the world.
I like that, brother. I like that. Brother Hassan, thank you for that. All right, Dr. Bruce, I'm going over to you. Here's the next slide, and then we're going to the lines. We need to recapture our minds through cultural programs and the development of effective spiritual practices. We need to recapture our minds. That's your thing, Dr. Bruce. Through cultural programs and the development of effective spiritual practices. What do you think about that? And when we talk about effective spiritual practices, what do you see as that being for us?
I see that as being, as I say in the chapter on my book, which I'll get to, which I haven't gotten to yet, but where our spiritual practice or our spirituality or our religion or our belief in God or how we want to put it, our cosmology, whatever we want to say, it has to be based in something that is that's geared towards our freedom and our liberation. If we're going to use the Bible, we should see it in a perspective of black consciousness. We should use those nations. We should use those people. We should use those incidents. We should use those allegories. Use those stories to uplift our people, and it should be on that focus and that focus alone. I was reading, this again being Black History Month, there's a sister by the name of Joyce Bryant. Most of y'all have never heard of her, I don't think, but she was a tremendous jazz singer back in the 40s and 50s, and she just died in November of 2022 at about 93 years of age. And she always spoke out for black people. Even when she performed and she refused to perform where black people couldn't be a part of the audience in the 40s and 50s when there was segregation. And she was a Seventh-day Adventist. And one thing that she got upset with her home church about being Seventh-day Adventist is when she stopped singing and she went to her pastor and said that our church needs to become a part of the movement. Our church needs to take a stand for black people during these civil rights days, because it's like I said, late 50s, early 60s, when civil rights movements, and she oftentimes met with Dr. Martin Luther King too, and supported Dr. King. And some of those some of our people who tuned in might want to just look up Sister Joyce Bryant. She at one time was considered to be, you know, a black raven beauty, along with Eartha Kitt and Dr. Dandy, some of these other people. But anyway, she had consciousness enough to go to her pastor of a Seventh-day Adventist church and say to them that we need to join the movement or take a stand with black people. And the pastor said to her that these are matters that are not of a spiritual nature. the churches only be should only exactly. Thank you, Brother Marv. Right, and so she fell out with the church for that. And any conscious black person, I can understand them falling out with the church, but the pastor is going to just preach day in and day out and not say anything that relates to them, our struggles, our hurts, and our despair, and our slave mentality. You see, so that's the example I want to use, Sister Joyce Bryant, in terms of what you were saying in terms of spirituality. She fell out with the Seventh-day Adventist Church out in Oakland, California, because they wouldn't make a statement. They just sat on the sideline. In the same way that the EMS and the firemen and other people sat on the sidelines when Tyree Nichols was killed, and the same way that those brothers and sisters sat on the sidelines during the killing of George Floyd. You see. So anyway, you say go to your lines, okay.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Dr. Bruce, for that one. And now it's time to go live to the line. So if you're on a call-in line, 845-277-9250 is the number. And if you're on deck, we're going to call on you. We're at the top of the hour again. And the first number, right, we'll call your area code and then the last four of your number. Slido is doing well, so we can bounce over there as well. Slido is in today. All right, we're going to 804, area code 6110. You're live, you're on. Welcome to the show. Do you have a question, comment, statement on the conversation that we're having on black violence? Welcome to the show. 6110, last four. You're live. Let's move on over to area code 434-0342. You're next. You're live. You're on. Do you have a question or comment? 0342. All right. They're listening today, Dr. Bruce. All right, 9266, you're up next, 804-9266, you're live. You have a question, comment, statement on the dialogue on black on black violence.
Good afternoon. Mm-hmm. I'm going a little late, but thank you for the conversation today.
Mm-hmm. For listening.
Oh. Well, you're
right,
very welcome.
Move on.
Did you hear me?
Yeah, definitely. Yes.
Yeah, very, very welcome.
Joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
All
for
right,
joining.
We got Dr. Bruce, Brother Hassan, Brother George, and myself. I'm going over to 919-4541. 919-4541. You're live. Do you have a question or comment for Dr. Bruce, Brother Hassan, Brother George, and myself? 919-4541.
So I just want to say I'm really enjoying the show today, and both your guests are excellent, and I'm in total agreement. When Dr. Bridges says there must be consequences for those actions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, brother. I'm with you on that, right? You know, back in the day, you used to get a whipping for what you did wrong. You couldn't call the police or you couldn't call CPS. I ain't saying, you know, be abusive, but sometimes you need correction for direction. That's what Brother Stan used to say. Let's go on over to 804-9116. 9116, 804. Direction for direction is good. Sometimes some hind parts need to be whipped. 9116. I take that back. Go ahead. 9116, your lives. 804-9116.
Yeah, I just wanted to say I enjoyed the show. You know, hearing more solutions. And I'm really solution-based, so I enjoyed the show today.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, brother. Let me be clear on my last statement, right? I said some hind pots need to be whooped. You know, they said, spare the rod, spoil the child. I don't think you have to be punitive, but you got to educate and train, right, and develop our children so they'll have discipline and self-control. All right. Let's go on over to they just dropped off, so I got to move up one more. All right, let's go on over to 0946, 804, 0946, question, comment, statement. Welcome to the show. You're on live.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for this format. I was listening to some of the comments, and I think as far as being de-whitenized, de-niggerized, decolonized, whatever word you want to put on it, is there has to be a place of safety, and compassion. And I will just give you an example of how deep this is in our psyche. I spoke to a mother who felt safe enough to be honest with me. She happens to be fierce light-skinned, and her son is very dark-skinned. And I asked a question. First of all, let me say, this mother loves her child. She takes very good care of her child and all of that. I think when we say self-hatred, I think we have images of what we think that looks like. But anyway, I asked her the question. I said, do you want the color of your son's skin? She says, well, what do you mean by that? Well, I wouldn't mind. I can't, you know. I said, no, that's not what I'm asking. Do you want the color of your son's skin? And she felt safe enough to say, no, I don't. What we're dealing with here in our psyche is that on a subconscious level, even when we deal with colorism, we could solve colorism tomorrow if we developed a cream. Nobody would buy it. I'm just giving an example. That said, in solidarity, that it doesn't matter the color of your skin, all of us are going to darken our skin. Nobody would buy the cream. Because we are still running away from what we consider to be a nigger. So I'll end it with this. I was looking at it's called a Corowa tribe. There's what some people call an indigenous tribe in Indonesia, but they look like us, right? And so I was looking at the film, and the women were not clothed. The babies were sucking on their breasts, and kids didn't have on clothes. They had my kinky hair. They had my colored skin. And I just started crying because in that moment, I saw my humanity. See, we have been decolonizing the mind. See, those are simple people. They don't have electricity. They don't have this. They don't have that. What I saw was a community caring for one another. They were nothing less. So what, they can't read? See, we have to understand that our introduction into your center thinking and the world, they excused beating us because we were so-called ignorant. What does that mean? Just because a person, when they came to our land, the people couldn't read, what right did they give you to enslave them? So what they did was, when we think of being stupid and illiterate, I'm challenging us. If we cannot look at ourselves in our original form, when they found us in slavery, they didn't find us in Egypt. They found us in Central Africa. They found us in Sub-Saharan Africa. We were in grass huts. We were topless. We were all of that. So what? But the average black person would be ashamed if you were to show that film in front of white people. They would be disgusted. They would be ashamed. They would be embarrassed. And I'm saying on the deep psychic level, that is what we're running from. The last thing is our dialect. Everything about us, when we code switch and all of that, because our dialect is even demonized. Every essence of who we are from our original state is demonized, and I would say psychologically we're running from that. So even when we talk about code switching, we do it code switching. So let me not code switch. Let me drop down to a black dialect, and I couldn't use this dialect and be taken serious. Where's or what's we going to do? We's going to talk about how we just colonize. That is perceived as ignorance. What does humanity, ignorance, what? I'm still a human being. So when we look in the hood, do we see human beings or do we see hood rats and drug addicts and gang members and single parent moms? And we don't see human beings. And I think that's what the brother was saying about this self-hatred. But I say it's even deeper than that. It's even deeper than that. We've got to get to the point that when we decolonize, that our children have a safe place to be honest about what's happening to them. So I'll just end with this. When I ask that question, I'd ask anybody that's on here that's fair skin, if you feel safe enough, because I'm not asking you to do that, to say, would you trade in your fair skin in the system for darker skin? I'm not asking you to say, I'm just asking, do you want black skin? Do you want darker skin? And if we can be honest about that, and that's okay, because I didn't judge that mother. I understand where she's coming from. There, and so all of my friends that are of a lighter hue that I ask that question and pose that question to, I have to go through a lot of levels of defensiveness, but I appreciate them being honest. They know I don't want black skin. And so I say that in this movement of decolonization of the mind, we have to first provide a space of safety and compassion and understand what has happened to us on a deeper level. Thank you.
True. Thank you, sister. All right, Dr. Bruce, Brother Hassan. That was good. All right. Before we go over there, this matches Slido really well. It says, love is the answer. How do we return to self-love? So, Dr. Bruce, after all that said, right, and looking at ourselves, what do you say?
I agree with the caller 100%. None of that cream would sell that she was talking about. It would make a person darker. Now, and I want to pose something else right now, and not necessarily to the caller because the caller is probably gone. But let me just ask the question. Let me just show you how, show you and the audience and other people the semantics here. Now, if I say to you, Brother Marvin, because the caller used the term fair skin, what is fair skin, Brother Marvin? I'm asking you a question now. You're the host, I know, but I'm asking you a question. You used to ask the question. But what is fair skin?
Fair, in my mind, would be light or white.
Okay, all right. Brother George, what's fair skin?
Light skin.
Okay. Okay, and I'm sure the other brother agrees too. It's a light skin, right? Now, when we say this is why we got to cut some of this vocabulary that we've been taught under this system of white domination and slavery, and this backward educational system. Because, okay, if you say light skin is fair skin, and you both agreed with that. The opposite or antonym to fair, or the opposite of fair, I should say, would be unfair. And unfair is also what? Unjust, unrighteousness, not straightforward, you see?
Right. Come on, Dr.
All right? All right. Now, if we're equating fair with righteousness or correctness, when we say that's a fair person, we say that's a fair person. Mm. We mean that person is what? Just. He's correct.
Even-handed. That's right.
He tries to do the same. Even-handed, okay, all that. So if we're equating fair with that, what are we saying? We're saying white people are the most just people, the most even-handed, the most righteous people on this planet. If we are using fair, so rather than use terms like fair, as the sister said, very important point she made, we need to get rid of this kind of thinking and don't even use fair, use the color descriptive of what the human being looks like, light, dark, whatever, chocolate, calm, whatever. But don't use fair because when you say fair, you're saying white and you're also saying fair is just and is equal and everything is on the up and up. So we got to look at this now.
All right. That's right. How about going by a person's actions?
But you see, the reason, exactly, go back, I agree with you. But the reason we use these terms is because this is what we've been taught. Fair.
Right.
Yeah. We've been
Brother George, you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Does it make sense, Brother Mar?
Yes, sir.
Right.
Absolutely.
If you say a person is fair skin, you say, oh, they're fair skin. You equate fair with being right and just. And on the up and up. And we know doggone well white people definitely should not be considered fair if that's what fair actually means. Or just. If not, we wouldn't be doing this program right now talking about injustice.
You got that right.
Mm-hmm. All right, brother. I'm finished, brother.
All right.
I'm finished.
Brother
like
Hassan,
I like
what
that.
You got?
Yes, sir. Yeah, you know, that listen, he right on point with that, man. I couldn't agree more when you deal with that description of fair and then the opposite of fair, which is unfair, right? Because when you deal with that part of it, you know, they used to say that even one drop of blood, if it was black, right, you was considered to be black, if they knew that. But they have certain people that who could go in what they call pass, right? They could pass. They could pass because they were what? They were fair skinned, right? You know, and I think about that when they talk about how we've been taught to see ourselves as fair and not even understand that within the mind, the direct opposite of that is unfair. So if that person is fair, then obviously, you know, I must be unfair. So I don't want to be unfair. I want to be fair. So we strive to obtain that within ourselves and we internalize it and don't even realize that we're living out the object of white supremacy. Right? When we start to even have a dialogue and a conversation like that. And for me, I always, you know, I'm always aware of how we deal with humans. We're talking about humanity. Sister spoke about see ourselves as human beings, right? But what do that mean, right? When you talk about man, an original man, and then you have human. Now, human means to what? Hue means to bring out, to pull out of it. So when you talk about hue, you're talking about the texture of something, right? The complexion or the hue, the pigmentation of something. So when you talk about hue, man, you're talking about many different hues that come out of the original man, the original man. And so I don't have to say, you know, black man, necessarily, because original man doesn't necessarily denote that I'm saying black man, right? Because we talking about black and white as ideology and mentalities and so forth like that. Like, what? When do we start to use the term black power, right? A coin that was phrased by a man by the name of Steve Biko, right? And if you understand who Steve Biko was, he was there at the time when we were talking about apartheid with Nelson Mandela and the African National Congress, and at the same time, the civil rights movement was going on over here in America, right? And so that being related to that, in that sense, we talk about black as being a state of being conscious and not necessarily your pigmentation, right? Because everybody who was in the field weren't black, right? And everybody in the house weren't fair. If we can use that terminology just for the fun of it, right? Everybody in the house won't fail. So if we really start to dig into the psyche of getting away from that terminology, we have to get back to the essence of who we are as original people, right? Indigenous to this planet, here on this earth since time immemorial. If we can get away from that psychic trauma that we've been dealt through slavery, when we start to refer to ourselves as fair, which they used to say as quadroon or octoroon, right? If you was quadroon, you was a little bit lighter, but, you know, we could still tell that you was a Negro, so-called Negro. And then you had octoroon, right? And the octoroon, they was really, really, really light, so they could pass, right? But in essence, they knew themselves that they were not that. And so what I'm saying is we have to really start to understand the psychology that we have developed to assimilate into a culture and a society that was never meant for us, built to oppress us, and proceeds to oppress us because we don't understand that we are the original people. Will not teach us that we are the original people. They're not going to teach you that. The sister talked about us being in huts and all that and not being ashamed of it. Do you not understand Timbuktu
or Alexandria, right. Cairo in Egypt. Let us not forget the learning centers that were there, that Plato and Aristotle and Socrates went and looked. That you look at the Temple of Luxor and these places in Kemet, not Egypt. Egypt means a name that says boxed in. Kemet is the right name. Before Alexander the Great ransacked it and took everything to Greece, right? And took everything to Europe. So we got to understand the history, right? And understand who we really are. We had empires. Great empire. We built the Supreme Pyramid. The Supreme Pyramid, which sits right in the center of the earth. Right? We had to understand that science about ourselves, man. And let's really get down to the deepness of it is that, you know, we start to see ourselves and even as we become our black, we allow our blackness to become Americanized and colonized. We have to hold fast to that which is true, the essence of who we are and where we come from. And if we do that as a cultural base, then no matter what they throw at us, we can deflect it with truth and knowledge and understanding and wisdom. That's power for us. We're talking about empowerment, right? How do we empower people if we don't give them knowledge?
True. All right. Thank you, Brother Hassan, for that. We're going to get back to the lines. All right, let's go over to 804-9282. 9282, you're up next on the Empowerment Hour. Black Violence, you're listening live. Welcome to the show.
Brothers, and everybody in the sound of my voice, I said peace. So as my ancestors said when they originally got here, assalamu alaikum. Brothers, I just want to say we have to understand, like I tell the students at Armstrong, you don't let someone else define who you are by what they say out of their mouth and how they try to label you and anything. You don't get caught up in that. Don't give people, we have to realize you can't give anyone the power over you to say something and so be it to you. No. We know, like Brother said earlier, we know who inside when we're right, when we're wrong. We know when we get ready to do it. It's our nature. And I want to touch quickly on the solution that you talked about, Brother Marvin. We have to come up with a solution. We have to first admit what happened, what's causing it, and for us to be where we are. And slavery has manifested the devil in us, similar to what Dr. Bruce said. Slavery has manifested the devil that's in us. We could not come out of slavery being the original man and woman that we were, the original righteous people that we were, living in this hellish society. Mm-hmm. Hell cannot tolerate good being around it. Hell cannot tolerate righteousness being around it. The earth, prior to the white man being allowed to come out of the Caucasus Mountains of Europe, the caves of Europe, to come over the world was heaven. That's what it was. We talk about the great kings. It was heaven here on earth, okay? And the white man, being the evil, wicked, conniving, thieving, murderous person that he is, has changed it into hell. And to do that, he had to bring the devil out of us. Black-on-black crime, disrespecting our women, homosexuality, okay, child pornography, pedophiles, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Hell, he had to bring the devil out of us to manifest hell, what was in heaven. I had a meeting earlier today with some brothers, your older brothers my age, some my age, and then some brothers and sisters that were two, three generations behind me, younger than me. And we talked about passing the baton from us to them, generation from generation. And I said, yes, but when we're passing that baton, what are we passing? And I think the problem is a lot of times, and I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything, but that baton we passing, that my generation passed, and it was passed us with bullshit. And so when we passing bullshit, then you keep bullshit going. You keep hell going. That's what we are getting. That's what we have. And we have to honor, stand up to that and admit what has been going on, what we have been doing. We can't keep looking at that generation after us and ask the dumb question, what's wrong with our children? Look in the damn mirror. That's what's wrong with our children. We're passing on bullshit and bullshit. And as Brother Sam mentioned, they're searching for things. They're searching for alternatives. They're being rebellious, but as they try to rebel to trying to find the truth and righteousness, they find more bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Continue the bullshit. Look at us as a people, and particularly brothers. Look at us as a people. Our future and our children's future, their well-being in this country is dependent on, quote-unquote, good white people doing the right thing and fighting their brothers and sisters to protect us. Do I need to repeat that?
Mm.
Our future, our children's future in this country, in this world, is dependent on good white people, so-called good white people, fighting their brothers and sisters and doing the right thing to protect us. Now, remember, good white people benefited and are still benefiting from the bad, evil actions of their bad white brothers now. They call them privileged folks, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then on it, I'm going to add, we also talk about the marches and demonstrations and Black Lives Matter and all the movements. And it was some good conversation, Brother Marvin. I got to share some of the things that came out of this meeting with you next time we talk. And I said,
We
got
to wrap it up here, brother.
Okay. All right, bro.
All right. So, hate to cut you off there, brother, but we got to wind this thing down. 3 minutes left. Dr. Bruce and Brother Hassan, thank you for joining us today. We'll go with final comments from Brother Hassan, then Dr. Bruce, Brother George, and we out of here. Great dialogue today. It's family time. It's a discussion that we got to have. Brother Hassan, final comments.
Yeah, final comment, man. I love what the brother said about that part about giving the youth passing the right type of torch, right? Because I believe that I was a part of a generation that failed when they were calling us super predators. And what I realized when I went to prison is that when I got in prison, there were young men who were coming in after I spent 20 years in prison that could have been my son, right? And they were coming through the door at the age of 17, 15, some of them. Juveniles tried as adults, man. And I realized right then and there that there was something that I had to do to step out to the plate when I came home to make sure that those young men never stepped foot in it. An ounce of prevention is a pound of cure, man. Let's start providing a solution by being a part of it, man. Be out there. Let them see you. Talk to them. Let them touch you. Let them know that you care, right? Because that's what it takes. They need to see it. They need to see it so that they know that they can achieve it, and they don't have to go the wrong way to do it. That's a solution. Start being a part of the solution, right? And that's my final comment. I love the dialogue. I can't wait to do it again. And peace and blessings to everyone out there.
All right. Thank you, Brother. Dr. Bruce.
Yes, sir. My statement, Brother Marvin, is, and I'm tying it right into the brother who mentioned apartheid in South Africa during the time of Nelson Mandela and Stephen Biko. Stephen Biko said, the greatest weapon in the hand of the oppressor is the mind of the oppressed. Thank you very much, Brother Bob.
Thank you, Dr. Bruce. Brother George.
Brother, I would just like to thank all the participants. You know, man, y'all was great, and I really appreciated being a part of it.
Thank you, sir. Brother Hassan Shabazz, Dr. Bruce Bridges, Brother George Brown, and myself. On behalf of all of us and many, many more, if you don't do anything, listen to this show again and then share it with somebody, a family, or the only way things are going to change is if we change it, and we got to do that work ourselves. Until next week, it's family time. African American empowerment, 365 days of you know what for you know who. And until that time, stay strong, stay at peace, be yourself, and love your black self just the way you are. Peace and blessings. Enough said.